Thank you for the opportunity to come. Well, it is a blessing. My first time in Amory, Mississippi. I don't know where my brother was. He was preaching in Amory the night I surrendered to preach. That was before cell phones. That was 112 years ago. And I called him somewhere. He was preaching, and they had a gymnasium or a fellowship hall. And he went out there, and they got him to the phone. I said, Buster, I said, I surrendered to preach. And he started crying, or he started laughing or shouting, and then he started crying. And he said, I'm glad that you've surrendered and been obedient to the Lord, but he said, you're going to have to face some things. And then he said, no man having taken hold of the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. He said, just grab a hold and go. And I thank the Lord for these opportunities. And I promised the Lord a few years ago, 2021, that if he'd give us a new congregation to be able to preach to, I want to share just a few minutes. Brother Randy will be coming. It's 20 to 9 where I'm from, so we're going to do what we do quickly. But I just want to be a blessing to you. I've got a long version, and then I've got a short version. I do preach on the radio every Sunday morning. I got 27 minutes, and I come on, that green light comes on. And then about 1 minute, he'll come in there and he'll do this. And that means you got 1 minute left. And then that light turns red. I can keep preaching if I want to, but there ain't nobody in there to hear. And I found that out in most churches that I've been in. There's a green light for a little while, and then it starts blinking red. And that's when we start gearing her down and let the man of God come. But it's so good to be here, see some of our friends. Brother Saville, he's been a dear friend. I'm actually going to quote him in just a moment when I read this text. But Isaiah chapter 43, I want to share a day with you in my life. It happened in 2021. It was in March of that year. And it was a day, as the pastor said, my brother, he took his life. Anybody that knew him, he took his life in 2002. And that was a bad day. But this day in 21, it had to do with my oldest son, and I never had faced anything like it. My wife has miscarried children, and we got them on the other side to look to. But that day with my oldest son, I've never faced anything like it. And the Lord lets us preach out like this some, and we pastor a good church in the mountains. And I was like, Lord, how am I going to stand? How am I going to stand before the people of God and be truthful in, living life? You can't lie about it. My oldest son, he took a hard left turn. He's doing better now. Thank God there's another side of this. But everybody pretty much has had a day. You've had a day in your life, and we'll look at that. But I went to the study that morning, and I said, Lord, I said, you're going to have to help me. And the Lord, he did. And he did it the way he always does. He does it through and by the Word of God. I didn't see a white owl on a moonlit night on the backside of a mountain. Y'all ain't got no mountains down here, but on the backside of a mountain. But I did go to the study that morning. And if you'll stand with me, it's our custom up in the mountains. But Isaiah 43, and right in the middle, in verse number 10, and of course, Isaiah speaking on behalf of the Lord to the nation of Israel. He's turned the captivity in chapter 40. He's reminding them how much he did love them, and he had to chasten them. That's why he did love them. But in verse number 10, he said, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." I want to get to verse 13 fast tonight. And I sat down at the study that day. My world was turned upside down. And we may say a little more, however the Lord leads. But when I sat down, here's what I read from God. I heard from heaven. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was much stronger than that. And God spoke to Jimbo. It wasn't Isaiah speaking to Israel. It was God helping me. I don't know what dispensation. I was in a bad dispensation that morning is what I was. But look what your Bible said. Yea, before the day was. Before the day was. God said, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work and who shall let it? You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I'll just go through this and share the burden. You know, Vance Havner years ago, he said the soil has to be broken to produce crops. Clouds have to be broken to give the rain. The bread has to be broke to give strength. That alabaster box, it has to be broken to give that sweet smell of that perfume. M.R. Dehon, he's got a book on broken things. And he said man would take broken things and discard them and throw them away. But God takes the broken things and he puts them back together and he uses them for his honor and for his glory. Brother Saville and I and his wife and my wife, we were sitting at a little restaurant in Burnsville when all of this was happening in 21. Brother Saville said this, and I've told it everywhere I've ever shared this burden. Brother Saville said, ministry is born out of misery, but it brings medicine. And there was some ministry going on. I didn't know it was God's schooling. I have no idea. But there was something going to come out of that misery, and it was going to help some moms and dads and children and pastors and preachers up and down the road. I would have never chose it. I would have never said, okay, God, bring it on, dump it on me, and let's learn and go. No, I would have never chose it, but I'm glad God is a big God. If we were to look at verse number 10, we'd see how the sovereign is revealed. There's a called summons. He said, you are my witnesses. That's a judicial term. And Israel knew that God was God. And I know y'all's heritage down here. Y'all know God is God. You know God is faithful. You know God will never leave you or forsake you. But if you ever have a day, sometimes even trusting the word of God, it gets hard. But he said, you are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen. That word chosen, we're not scared of that. It means accepted and selected. God didn't have to have me, but he chose me. I'm glad I had to have God, but he came to where I was and did what I could not do. He said that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Right off the bat, he deals with our emotional man, that ye may know, K-N-O-W. That means to learn by seeing. And then believe me. He didn't say believe in me. That's what happened in 1991 when I got saved. But believe me. Believe the word of God. He's speaking to me that morning and he said, yea, before the day. What? But it's hard to believe. When everything was transpiring and going on, we couldn't find my son on a Saturday and a Sunday. We had church in a little old town we live in. Everybody knew before the sun went down what all was going on. We went through church Sunday night. Me and my wife got in our car. We went to Asheville, North Carolina. We drove around trying to find him. The police, they had pinged his phone and it was turned off. We didn't know if he's dead and we didn't know if he is alive. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't have a switch that I can turn on and turn off. I said, Lord, and you know what he did? He did. That is who God is in verse 10. He said, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Can I say this? If you're experiencing a day in your life, it's not time to run from God. It's time to run to God. It's not time to run from the church house. It's time to find your place around God and his word and the people of God. In verse number 11, he talks about being the Savior and Redeemer. He said, I. Now, I was born and raised in East Tennessee, and I ain't got a lot of education. I went to school to get out. The year that I graduated, it was about March 1981, and I didn't have enough credits. Did y'all have to have credits down here to graduate? And you had to have 21 to graduate. Well, I had 19. But by time May come, I had 21. God was doing miracles before I ever got saved. They didn't want me to come back to school, and I didn't want to go back to school. So I love the Word of God. The Bible said, I. That's a repetition of a pronoun. They say when that happens, it's a strong statement, an emphatic statement. It's an enduring statement. He said, I am the Lord. That's the resound of his person. He said, and beside me there is no Savior. I looked that word Savior up and it means deliverer and defender and rescuer and preserver. He's every bit of that and so much more. He's just reminding Israel that he's still God. God. And even though they've erred, been out in Babylonian captivity, and God's brought them out. That was the end of verse number 15 and 16 when God, he dry docked them ships. Cyrus, you know how God used him to deliver Israel from the Babylonian captivity. But he's reminding them that he's still God and he still cares. You may be going through something tonight. I've been saying this for the last couple of years. Everybody may know what you're going through, or nobody may know what you're going through, but there is a God in heaven. You say, preacher, I ain't told nobody. I ain't told the pastor. I ain't told my husband or my wife. There is a God in heaven that knows. Notice in verse number 12, he said in verse 12, I have declared and have saved and have showed. That word declared, it means he announced and predicted future events, and every one of them came true. It means he warned Israel of dangers, and they had to pay for their error. It means that he marked out a path of safety like a shepherd does for the flock. And he has been everything that he said he would be, and so much more. He said, I have saved. Now, he's not talking about, I don't know if y'all have this down here, it's my first time. Up in the mountains or up there where we're at in North Carolina, they get saved, they get lost. That, not at our church, but them other churches. They have a free will in their title. And so they get spoiled. And I used to make fun of them, quit it. But I feel so sorry for them. They struggle. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do? When he said that he had saved, he's talking about delivered. God had delivered Israel time and time again. God has saved me so many times I can't count them. He has delivered me from myself. Not talking about soul salvation, but situational salvation. He said, I have showed. That word showed, all I know to say about it is he has been everything that he said he would be and so much more. Then he said, when there was no strange God among you, he had to deal with them because of their error. In verse number 14, he said, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That's who he is. He's God. He'll never cease to be God. He never started being God, and he's never going to stop. He said, I'm your Redeemer. Redeemer. Is he your Redeemer this evening? I was preaching in Lenore, North Carolina, Brother Billy Mitchell. I just read what the Bible said, where it said, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. There's a man got up and went out the back. He was back there for a little while, and you never know what's going on in a Baptist church. And we was giving down towards the invitation. He come back in. He got saved out in the parking lot. He said, I am not his, and he is not mine. And he met God outside the church house, hearing the King James Bible saying, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. We could go on and on and on in this text, but I want to deal with this one verse and we're done. It's a solemn reality before the day was. Probably when I made that statement, if you've ever had a day, it come back to your mind. If you're having to think, have I ever had a day? You ain't never had a day. If you're having to think about it. And this is just things that I wrote down that morning, preacher. There's the arrival of the day. He said before the day was. Before that day, all of that happened with my son. I'm not going to go in all the detail anymore, but it was bad. He's got Rod. He's got married. Got two little grandchildren. I got two grandchildren. And I told him, his name's Zeke, and I told him, I said, son, that's the reason I didn't kill you. Y'all going to have to loosen up a little bit. Them grandkids are a blessing. The other Sunday night, we went to, what is that place? Zaxby's. And it's about to close, and we was in there eating, and my oldest one, Briar, he's almost three. And Briar, he was running around everywhere. I mean, and days before I had grandchildren, I would have said, somebody beat the devil out of that kid and set him down. But when mine's running, I'm like, get it, son. Look at him going around through there. It has got better, and it's not like it used to be. But I'm talking about a day that we woke up, my wife woke up, having no idea things like this were going to transpire. The arrival of the day before the day was, when the S-U-N rose on your sorrow. See, it's always different when it's somebody else's. But it's come to your house. When your spirit and your senses are shattered. When God has enrolled you in a school of suffering. I told you I wouldn't have never chosen it. I'm not going to stand on this side and say, bless God, I had enough power of prayer. No, I would have never chose it. But God is faithful. The day tragedy arose at your house. I got so many things down through the years that people have shared. I got them couples back at the church house. They all they ever wanted was children. Carrying little children and miscarrying. And I'd look back on this side as a pastor and they've just got a newborn baby. And on this side, here they are, the third time lost, miscarried a child. And I don't have the answers. I wish I could say, you know, here is A, B, C, D. But I can tell you this, before the day was, God is God. He's not going to cease to be God. I'm talking about things like when sorrow wrapped around you and it wouldn't let go. I understand everybody don't understand. There is a mental warfare, especially on the men of God, you know, about ruling one's house well. I actually, Brother Randy, went before my men. I said, if y'all want me to resign, I'll resign. They said, preacher, they said, you've stood with us when ours went that way. I'm going to tell you, it was a day when we finally found him. He had a band. It's a tattoo band. It's an identification band. And it just identified with some things in Asheville. And then there ended up being what they call a sleeve of tattoos. He was raised at the camp. They heard the best preaching this side of heaven. He knew better than to mark his body. If that's the worst thing he did, it wouldn't have been that bad. Do I still love him? You better know I love him. I know when I'm going to give you all the time you need. But I got a whole church full of tattooed people. I got one lady at our church. She's a lady. She got a tattoo here. Got one back here. She's got them here and here. Oh, Christina, she got saved. And I was preaching, just probably like these walls. I've never been here before, but everything that y'all have heard inside these walls down through the years, if it stays in here, that wasn't what God intended it for. And I was preaching one Sunday, you know, about taking what we've heard and that, you know, the old paths and taking them out into everything that's going on. I went to the back, people came by and they said, you know, enjoyed the message, preacher. They shook my hand. Here come Christina. She's always got her head down. And she's crying. She stuck her hand out and she said, preacher, she said, the Lord wants me to go to jail. She'd been in jail. She'd been in the Burnsville jail. She said, I need to go tell them women what God can do.
Amen.
She's doing what a lot of others are not doing. Every time she comes, I don't touch women. I just don't. Every time she'd come to me, she'd come with her head down and she'd do that. And I want to say, pick up your head. If God's forgive you, forgive yourself. Then I found, where is it? Psalms 3, He is the lifter up of my head. I'm glad, I'm telling you, God is able to take these situations and use them. He can use them. If God was to turn out the lights and put all of our past up, not just before we got saved, before the day was. Watch this. Before the day was, I am He. Y'all know this. That's His signature. That's His signature. That means everything He's getting ready to say, He puts His signature to it. It means it's true and it's truthful and it can be trusted. Before there ever was a day, before the first day, before time ever was, from eternity past to eternity present, ever since there's been a day that you and I can understand, before the day was, He said, I am He. He's not changing. That I am, they say it's past, present, and future. It just never ceases to be. He was yesterday and today and tomorrow, before the day came. Him, during the day, going beyond the day. He said, I am He. That's the I am He that'll never leave nor forsake. That's the I am He whose grace is sufficient. On and on and on. He said, before the day was, I am He. I am He. He knew the day was coming. Now hold on right here. He knew the day was coming, but He didn't stop it. That's what baffled me about my brother. God, you knew in August of 1976, when you saved him, how he was going to leave this world. And God did. But God didn't stop it. Don't let anybody tell you ain't got a will. You got a will in salvation. You got a will. God didn't stop it. The arrival of the day, the afforded delight. He said to him, there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I didn't understand that. And there is none, not nine, none that can deliver. That word deliver means snatch away. There ain't nobody. It didn't say ain't. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. But see, this time it felt like the last time. This time it felt like, well, God, you have been good all them other times, but this time it's the last time. And then he said that statement. He said, I will work. And you talk about helping. God said in the midst of the mess that we were in 21, God said, what'd your Bible say? I will work. I will work. You said, wait a minute, preacher, you don't know. I'm going to talk to you after church. God said, I will work. God said, I will. Not I might, I'll think about it. The triune Godhead will vote on it. He said, I will. God can take something as messed up as it is, and God can use it for His honor and glory. He closed it out and said, who shall let it? Let it? That's not let it be, let it happen. The word let means hinder it. Who shall let it? I will work. Who shall let it? Hinder it. Turn it back. And you know who it is that can let it? You remember them days there at Pig and Grits, weeping. I called my friend, Brother Eddie Davis, up in Tennessee. And I said, preacher, and I told him the story. And I said, he's tattooed up. I said, he's messed up. I said, I don't know what to do. And I just went on and went on. And here's what the old man of God told me. He said, is this about you or is it about him? So I was kind of a little worried about what the brethren would think about my son having tattoos. I don't have a tattoo on my body. All mine's in here. You told me you was going to Tupelo. When you said Tupelo, all them tattoos from inside started unveiling themselves. It's amazing how we can make it about us. Here's what I want to share with you, and I'm done. I was preaching along these lines in Dayton, Tennessee at Brother Leland Frazier's. I have 7 minutes. I was preaching at Brother Leland Frazier's, and there's a lady stood up, his church, Brother Leland, you all been there, his church is a lot like this, and right there about where Brother Nichols is, there was a lady stood up. And she said, has anybody here, she was testifying about the goodness of God, and she said, has anybody here ever heard of Kintsugi? Kintsugi. I thought, well, it's got to be Hebrew. We're in the Isaiah, so I did whatever other preacher did. I Googled it, you know. And Isaiah's not, I mean, this Kintsugi's not a Hebrew term. What it is Kintsugi was a Japanese emperor in the 1500s. And what he had done, he had a heirloom that had been passed down to him. Heirloom, year after year after year, generation after generation in the 1500s, and it was passed down to him. And in the process of time, in the process of time and life and living, that thing got broke. It got broke. And that's the way my son was. He's broke. You remember them, most of y'all ain't young enough now. That's how old we are getting. You remember them old preachers preaching on broken things? The piece of potsherd, breaking the lamp. But see, this was my son. And so I'm looking at that after she said that. And I never saw her again. Been to Brother Leland's about every year except last year, and I never saw her again. I was talking to an old preacher up in North Carolina and told him, he said it may have been an angel. I said, come on. He said, you don't believe nothing. That's why you don't enjoy nothing. I don't know. But what Kintsugi did, he said, them shoguns. Them shoguns are them guys that's got them big swords on their back. He enlisted them and he said, we got to put this back together. He said, this is a family heirloom, been down all these generations. And so what they did was they took it and they took it like that and they put a rosin in it, like a glue-like rosin. But when it dried, it humped up and it was white. And like I said, I'm from East Tennessee, and when I moved to the mountains of North Carolina, I heard a term I'd never heard before. It was all gommed up. Y'all ever heard that? I'd never heard it in my life. It was a mess, is what it was. Kintsugi said, no, no. He said, family treasure, family heirloom. So one of them stepped up, and what he decided to do was to take all of those broken pieces, and he started putting them back together. But what he did was he took gold dust, and he put it in every one of the cracks. So it became more beautiful than it was before it was broken. I was preaching up there in somewhere, and there was an antique store right across from the motel. And I went over there, and I asked the lady, I showed her on my phone. I said, ma'am, you ever heard of Kintsugi? She said, oh, yeah. I said, do you have any of that here? She said, oh, no. She said, what you're showing me on there, she said, they start at $750, and they go up to $1,500. And this ain't real, so don't steal it. My gun's at the motel. I went to Walmart and got some glue and some. But what he did was he started filling in them places. There's no two alike. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and they'll say, and I believe they mean well, Brother Ware, I know how you feel. No, they don't. That was your bride just telling me about. I don't think they mean bad. When my brother died at Crown College, they had his funeral, and one of my best friends come by. He said, Jimbo, he said, laugh and the world laughs with you. He said, cry and you cry alone. I was like, well, I used to use blue willow. Any of you ladies down here know what blue willow is? That's what I used to use for this, but they're expensive. And I'm a Baptist pastor, and I was breaking them. And then, I've done a lot of things with them. But I started using this one, and I got to wondering, you know, that blue willow's got that blue and the Japanese and the doves and everything. And I got to wondering, would that gold show up on this? And when I did it, I found out the gold shows up better on a darker background. You say, what are you talking about? This ain't a history lesson of Kintsugi. God said he giveth more grace. So one of them, the first one that I ever broke, there is a kit online that you can buy for $100 to try to make a Kintsugi plate. But when I broke my first one, brother, I couldn't find all the pieces. And you know what Kintsugi did when they could not find all the pieces that were broke? They put in more gold. He giveth more grace. Oh, his grace is sufficient. I know in my life he's give more grace. And more grace. And more grace. You know what? After it's put together like this, it can be used again. He said, I don't know if they can be used or not. Well, I found out David said something like this. I can't quote it. I have to write everything down. But David said something like this. If God should mark iniquity, who shall stand? Look who wrote that. Oh, you know, right here, that kind of turned out like a heart. I do that for the pastor's wives that I've met. That silent hurt that nobody hears and nobody knows about much. That heart's been broken. My wife got her heart broke about 13 years ago in a move we had to make. And she don't really get real involved anymore. You know why? Because her heart was broke. But you know what God can do? Oh, he can feel it. He can feel it. On the back side, they can't see it. But you see them black lines?
Yes, sir.
That's what we want to hide everything. We don't want nobody to know. So I get told I'm too transparent. I didn't even know what the word transparent meant. They said, you're too transparent. I had a man rebuke me after I preached this in the East Coast of North Carolina. He said, you can't be that transparent in the pulpit. I said, well, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? Lie? Now, we don't want nobody to know. About the third time I ever preached this, dear old lady, I don't know if y'all know her down here, I won't say her name, but she got in the altar. She's weeping. She's crying. And she's subject to shout, whatever. I didn't know, and she was just in the altar. After the service was over, she come up. She said, Jimbo, you didn't know, did you? I said, no, no. She said, our daughter's been living with another woman. And she said, my husband, which is a preacher, she said, he's been studying her funeral message. Said, God's going to kill her. You know what she's doing now? She's playing the piano for one of the biggest churches in Western North Carolina, saved, changed. And was it Paul that said, "And such were some of you"? I'm slowing down because I'm done and I'm giving Brother Randy the time. I don't know if y'all can take this last point. Can they take it down here, Brother Sable? It's what Ken Sugi said. I didn't say it. You Google it. Don't do it during church. But he got to liking what he... These become trophies. He started displaying them. Pastor Owen, these were his trophies. Do you know what we are? We're trophies of grace. I hope you've never messed up. I hope you've never fouled up. I ain't giving you a license to, but I'm going to tell you, if you ever have to arrive at a day, there is a verse in that Bible that God can talk to you about before the day was. I am He. He can work. He can do something with it. My son, I said, Zeke, you ain't got to be a preacher. Just be the best business owner you can. Be the best daddy that you can. Be the best husband that you can. Just be what you can be for Jesus. I'm done. Ken Sugi got to liking what he was doing so much that he started taking those plates and breaking them on purpose so he could put them back together. You know, Peter said something about some that are chosen for affliction. And then I marked it at the motel right before I left. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Such as seemed good to the potter to make. I just come down here to tell you, if you've ever had a day, you might be in a day. Things may have not have turned out like you thought they would. I've got so many stories in there I can tell you. Divorce, it happens. We don't like to talk about it, but it happens. I ain't never seen a couple walk down and planning on it, but it happens. Little children get thrown in the mix of it. I'm talking about a day. One of the hardest things that happens at our church in our prayer room is we got young people praying for their moms and dads. But there's hope. Because God's God. Lord, thank you for being who you are. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for lifting us out of the places, God, that you found us, using us. God, thank you for being, Lord, before every one of these situations ever came, Lord, you were there. You've been that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, I thank you for this invitation to come be part of this meeting. Pray that you'd give this church, this pastor, the desire of their hearts in these days. Touch the man of God, Lord, as he gets ready to come. In your name we do pray. Amen.